Welcome to week 11 of All In with the Saints with your hosts, as always, Jake Seeley and Bobby McMahon. If you want to follow us, at All In Kid for myself, at Hello on Bobby for Bobby. And hopefully you're still in it. We're about to hit the playoff run here. About 2 weeks away for some of you guys in the 16 playoffs, 3 weeks away at worst. Well, I say at worst because you shouldn't be playing in week 17.
That's for sure. I mean, if you're playing in week 17, you're definitely doing it wrong. So
find a new league.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we got to make sure you get through things and also make sure that you remember, which I'm sure you do as Saints fans, but Thursday Night Football this week. So we're getting the show up and early for you. Hopefully it's out there for you on Wednesday. Make sure everything is ready to roll for a good, which should be a good game. Last time out, hey, Drew Brees threw for over 400 yards against the Panthers. You can only hope that they duplicate the same. Last week, it's kind of a disappointing loss, obviously, with the way that things worked out. And then you have the controversial play with whether or not it stepped out of bounds. But all that being said, fantasy-wise, the production was still pretty good. Drew Brees was his normal good self. Mark Ingram kind of looks like he's back into the lead role. A quieter game for Tim Hightower. Brandon Cooks had a good game. Willie Snead had two touchdowns for the first time in a while. And Michael Thomas, his most quiet game since the beginning of the season. But I think looking at the Panthers matchup, there's not really one of those people that I wouldn't think about starting. Maybe the only one I'd think twice about is if I'm deep at running back, and I would probably think about maybe not Tim Hightower given the matchup, because that's the one area. The Panthers are strong on defense, nowhere near like they were last year. The only way that they're strong is against the run. So Hightower would be the one that I would think about, but you might actually still need to start him because of the teams that are on bye with this week. If you look at the four teams, Atlanta, Denver, Jets, San Diego, there's four quality starting running backs, and if you're including Tevin Coleman, whether or not he's healthy, Bilal Powell, you could get possibly six here.
Yeah, exactly. So that would be the only guy that would be a question for me, is Hightower is kind of on the fringe there. But like you said, because of the situation with the bye weeks, and we're almost over. We've got two more bye weeks left, and then we're all done, thankfully. But hopefully we can get through it. You know, all those other guys, the receivers, are all starting options. Obviously, you're starting Drew Brees, who – put the most yardage and the most touchdowns on the Broncos last week that they've allowed all season. So, yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about their chances on Thursday night against the Panthers.
Yeah, I think so as well. And I think that if you had to go forward, Brandon Cooks, Michael Thomas, do you still feel like, because we were talking about last week, I still think that the more consistent option, given the home road splits and the fact of the role that he has in this offense, even with the down game, if I had to trust one or the other, and that's just splitting hairs because they're both terrific and you both want to start him, but would you still say that Michael Thomas is number one, or do you still lean towards Brandon Cooks, at least for the time being?
Yeah, I think last week I said they're 1A, 1B. I give the slight edge to Thomas, and I'm going to stick with that. I mean, I've just been so impressed by what he's been able to do. And obviously Cook's having a tremendous season and really has grown and developed each of the years that he's been in New Orleans, and this is just some more natural progression for him. So it's so exciting to watch these young, talented receivers develop for the Saints offense.
Yeah, definitely. So looking at some streaming quarterbacks to start things off for this week, I think at the top of the list, and somebody that I really think that shouldn't be a quote-unquote streaming quarterback, is Tyrod Taylor, coming back off the bye. But Tyrod Taylor, since week one, has had 5 out of 8 weeks where he's been a QB1, and his worst week has been QB15. I don't even just want him for this week. I'll take him the rest of the way.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, he's definitely right there for me on guys that I definitely want and are comfortable with starting on a weekly basis. All he does is put up fantasy points week in and week out, regardless of whether LeSean McCoy is in there. He's been without Sammy Watkins for pretty much almost the entire season now, and he just keeps rolling, keeps putting up points, whether it's through the air. Obviously, we know his upside on the ground, but yeah, Tyrod, I mean, if you're stacked at quarterback and maybe you got Matt Ryan and he's out there, he's a great one-week guy. But if not, if you're struggling at quarterback, I think he's a perfectly acceptable QB1 for the rest of the way.
Yeah, I think so as well. Another quarterback to talk about is Colin Kaepernick. In his 4 weeks, has been terrific so far. The same thing I keep saying and so far this week is the fact that if you give me Kaepernick versus the Cousins and Flaccos and Daltons of the world, I'd rather just roll out with Colin Kaepernick for the fact that he has such a high ceiling, but he also has a really high floor. The fact that even if his worst game, like last week, not just the fact that it has nothing to do with his floor, but I'm just pointing out the matchup. Everybody assumed, oh, it's Arizona, might not have a good game, but he's kind of matchup independent. You saw the game earlier this week, or earlier this season against Tampa Bay, where he should have had a good game, but it was kind of quiet. It's almost like it doesn't matter who he's playing. He's just going to be Colin Kaepernick, because maybe you get 15, maybe you get 25, but that's the appeal, is you're always going to get one of those kind of games.
Yeah, exactly. And the rushing yards are what gives him that built-in floor, which is really nice. And we've seen him take off a pretty good amount in his start so far this year. So, he's definitely a guy that not as comfortable as Tyrod Taylor would be at the helm, but I think for a game or, you know, a couple games here and there playing matchups, I'm more than okay with Colin Kaepernick given his aforementioned floor.
Yeah, I think so as well. And then last case scenario, I really hope you don't need to go this far, but if you do, Brock Osweiler, look, he has four games of 14 plus points, and a lot of his down games are coming against teams like the Chiefs, the Patriots, Broncos, Vikings. Again, not the highest floor. He actually isn't even top 20 points so far this season, but you still have a Raiders matchup who are weak against the pass, could end up being kind of a high-scoring game. Again, I really hope you don't need to go this far, but just in case you're in a deeper league, you can do worse, I guess.
I like how you kind of question marked that at the end there. I really hope you're not. I mean, he had 99 yards last week, but his day was saved because he had two short touchdowns. So, maybe Will Fuller comes back and he can, they're going to be possibly down to the Raiders. And you think maybe he can be throwing the ball all afternoon trying to play catch up. So I think that was part of the issue last week is they got up and really did not need to throw the ball much at all. So you're hoping that the Texans get down so that Osweiler will have to throw if you're starting him. If you're starting him, really good luck to you.
Yeah, definitely good luck to you in that situation. Moving over to running back, hopefully you have options like Chris Ivory, Deion Lewis to stash, which we can talk about as a separate subject altogether, but Tim Hightower, those kind of guys that are picked up at this point. We talked about him last week, but we have to bring it up again and talk about it. Is Robert Kelly. Now, clearly, we said last week, he was going to be the lead running for the running backs or for the Redskins, and he came out and did exactly that. Not only for the fact that he's their lead option, and he's not used very much in the passing game, we'll admit. However, I saw this stat thrown out on Twitter. Out of his 60 rushing attempts, only two of them have been for lost yards. That's just to show that his impressive yards after contact. I think he's a solid RB2 going forward, even in PPR, even with the fact that he's not used very heavily in the pass game.
Yeah, and I think that's the one drawback, but that's going to be Chris Thompson, and we know that, so that's okay. If he can keep Matt Jones on the sidelines, I absolutely am in on Kelly as a top 20, top 25 type of running back for the rest of the year. So, that stat is crazy. That's impressive. That's very impressive. And he's looked pretty good these past 2 weeks, and I think that's exactly what they want him to be, that between tackles grinder type of guy, and hopefully get some goal line carries and maybe bump up his his fantasy production a little bit more. But yeah, absolutely. And I think he's got a pretty good matchup this week.
Yeah, and then one of my favorite guys, CJ Procise, is really starting to break through for the Seahawks. Kind of get your opinion here, because this is what I've been saying a lot on Fantasy Radio all week long. If you guys want to listen to that, you can always listen to it. It's fntsy.com/radio. 24 hours Fantasy Sports Radio for free for you, and there's the app on iTunes and Google Play for you. But that being said, is CJ Procise's role is going to stay the same even if Thomas Rawls comes back, and even if Thomas Rawls looks like he did last year, which is still a question mark, but the biggest part I like about it is that CJ Procise can keep his pass catching role, and as I've said before, he's like 80-90% of David Johnson, very similar skill set, very similar size, very similar talent. The upside of what I like about it is, at worst, that's his role, is his pass catching option, and Thomas Rawls takes over. And I don't think it really matters if it's Thomas Rawls or Kristen Michael. We know what his role is. We saw it last week. The upside is that he has RB1 potential if Thomas Rawls comes back and he's not what he was last year and Kristen Michael continues his downfall the second half of the season. I think he's somebody that could be not quite David Johnson level, but in the RB1 conversation if that were to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really excited to see what Procise can do. I'm ceiling wise, I think he's over Kelly. He's a guy I definitely want to have Because like you said, I think in a PPR league at worst, he's still going to have a role and probably have flex value, maybe even RB2 value, even if Rawls comes back and runs like he did last year. On the other hand, there's, you know, the ball is kind of in Procese's court, in my opinion, is if he keeps running well, they're going to keep putting him in there, you know, between the tackles as well. But yeah, where he really is going to make his you know, fantasy mark is definitely going to be in the passing game. We saw a big game from him there. Last week, a very impressive performance from him. So yeah, Procise, definitely a guy I'm high on as well. I'm really curious to see how the rest of this year pans out between him, Rawls, and Michael.
Yeah, I think so as well. Another running back we've been talking about for a few weeks now, and looked really good last Thursday night, so it's going a little ways back. But Kenneth Dixon for the Ravens, and if you watched the game, he was more explosive and looked more impressive than Terrence West. But we do have the situation here is now they've also lost two guards. They're starting two guards, and Marshall Yanda and the other guy's name is slipping my mind right now. But if for the fact that does Terrence West necessarily go away, or is this a timeshare? I guess it kind of goes back to all three of these. Like if you had to rank Kelly, Procise, and Kenneth Dixon, so your opinion on Kenneth Dixon, but also rank those three, how would you treat them?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it, if I'm looking for immediate need, Procise, I'm still going to put him number one. I'm going to put Kelly a close second, and I'm not going to be mad if I lose out on Procise and I get Kelly. I would put Dixon third. As far as long-term upside, though, I think Dixon certainly is right there with Procise as number one, one and two, pretty interchangeable for me. That's how much I like Dixon, but also how much I don't like really Terrence West. I just think he's kind of mediocre type of player that's really not going to do much for you other than pick up what's blocked. And that's been okay for the Ravens so far. But Dixon has so much more upside than that. And I think we're seeing him getting worked in slowly. But I think that could gradually tilt in his favor, the touches. West will probably still be around and will take some carries away, but I think that's okay if you're looking at Dixon as a potential, you know, RB2 type of guy. You're okay with, you know, with West stealing a few touches if Dixon's going to get double digits.
Right. And then another running back that stepped up last week in his return is James Starks. Ty Montgomery, very low snap count in comparison. There was talk after the game that Ty Montgomery wasn't yet still 100% after his injury. But looking at the situation, you know, Starks is familiar with the offense. The team is familiar with what Starks can do. He's an average running back, but given the offense and if he's getting these type of touches and opportunity, is he somebody that's RB2 or is he no more than a flex option? Because even so, the Packers just don't run that much.
Yeah, for me, I'm going to put him in that RB2 area because I do think that, you know, we saw what he did last week. He only got 10 touches, but it was his first game since week five. So I'm thinking he's probably going to get somewhere between 12 and 18 touches in a game. And those will come, you know, maybe in the form of 10 carries and five, you know, targets in the passing game, which is totally fine by me. I think there's plenty of upside here given the offense and, you know, the player not super, he's not as exciting as a Dixon or a Procise. And we know what he is and who he is, but I still think he could be a useful fantasy player given the offense he's in.
Yeah, I think so as well. And then we have a situation that's kind of up in the air right now. Jordan Howard left the game in the second half. It sounds like Achilles. It sounds like an ankle. We don't really know what this case may be. We might not find out by the time things roll around until Sunday. Heck, it's John Fox, too. So that's part of the equation when we have to figure those things into it. But let's just say, obviously, you can't wait for that. Waivers are going to run. If you're a Jordan Howard owner, do you go after Lankford or do you go after Kadeem Carey?
I think you go after Lankford. I think he's clearly the number two there now that he's back and healthy. He had the job earlier this season. I still think Carey, with the way he played, which actually he was putting some pressure on Howard, you know, a few weeks ago. So I do think that that Carey would be in the mix, but I think Lankford would be the lead guy and probably the better PPR asset.
Yeah, I agree with you. And then let me ask you, this part of it is similar to fantasy baseball when a closer goes down and you're kind of trying to get the jump on things. If you're a Howard owner and can find a way to free up two spots, would you just go out there and try to pick up both just to cover yourself?
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable, you know, if I would rather have, you know, some of those other guys, you know, like Starks or Procyse, but yeah, if I'm kind of, trying to cover my bases and I think I can, you know, make some moves with my bench, definitely. I'll take both of them so that someone else doesn't scoop in and pick up carry. And then all of a sudden I'm in trouble if carry starts, you know, getting more carries.
Yeah, exactly. Carry gets more carries.
I said it, I was like, oh, interesting.
Yeah. All right. Moving over to wide receiver, Tyrell Williams, Sterling Shepard, Cole Beasley, Jameson Crowder, Corey Coleman, Kenny Britt, Rashard Matthews. All of those need to be picked up. All of those would rank ahead of these guys. Atop of the list, it's actually kind of a short list this week for wide receivers, but atop of the list that I have is Sammy Watkins, for the fact that if you're in a league where you don't have IR spots or he's dropped or whatever reason behind it, if he's out there because he's only available or he's available in less than 40% of leagues, or wait, no, he's only owned in less than 40% of the leagues. Make sure I say that correctly. He could return to practice this week. He might not. He's eligible to return to the field in week 12, but for the fact of the talent that he is, you have to make sure that he's owned in your league.
Yeah, obviously, when he's healthy, he's a game changer for sure. And that's and to get someone like that this late in the season off the waiver wire, you just really don't see that too often. So even if he's not back at practice, I think he's worth a speculative ad before news starts leaking about him looking great in practice. And then, you know, all of a sudden you're either A, in a bidding war, or the guy with the number one waiver priority picks him up and you lose out.
Yeah, absolutely. And then to look at some other options, we know the suspension with Alshon Jeffery, so stepping up behind him is going to be Cameron Meredith and Eddie Royal. I think that obviously Cameron Meredith is the one to pick up. I mean, we saw what he did in those 2 weeks when he was seeing all those targets. I think he's going to see a ton of targets again. But I don't want people to overlook Eddie Royal either.
No, I mean, you can't, because it really seems that every time someone doubts Eddie Royal, he you know, comes up with like a huge touchdown game. Now, I prefer Meredith for sure, but Royal's going to get involved here because there's not much else going on. We know Kevin White's on IR, so there's opportunity for both receivers. I prefer Meredith, but Royal, not a bad option, especially in deeper formats.
Yeah, I think so as well. I actually like him more this week than Meredith going against the Giants, because the Giants have been really good against number one wide receivers. I mean, after that touchdown for A.J. Green last night, he was pretty quiet for the rest of the game, notwithstanding when he was limping around for whatever reason.
Right, yeah, they definitely did do a pretty good job on him, and really, actually, the secondary did a good job overall, and the only thing that really burned him was Eifert.
Eifert, and well, Jeremy Hill, too.
That's
the way to beat the Giants, is with a power running back and a tight end. And look out for Zach Miller this week, by the way. Hint, hint, for everybody that needs tight end help, which we're going to get to in a second. But for Pittsburgh Steelers, Sammy Coates apparently has two broken fingers. That would have been nice to know for his fantasy owners a couple weeks ago. But now looking at the situation, Eli Rogers, all that excitement after week one is back. The last two games, 15 targets, 10 receptions, 145 yards, and a touchdown. Not only is he a must grab, I think he's start worthy in most every league at this point.
Yeah, I think he's kind of trending that way with the news of Coates. Obviously, he only played a couple snaps last week, and you know, he still had owners chasing the upside from a few weeks ago when he had that breakout performance. But yeah, Rogers is definitely a guy that, especially in a 12-team league or more, you need to make a move on him, because he's definitely on your waiver wire. You know, 10-team league, I think you might still have some pretty good guys. I prefer a guy like Meredith, but Rogers, if he's out there, you can do a lot worse than to have a guy like him on your bench, you know, sitting there in case you need him.
Yeah, definitely think so. Kendall Wright, touchdown saved his day last week. Not a ton of targets and a lot of receptions, but he does have a touchdown in three of the last five games. And Marcus Mariota is right now, he's number five for quarterbacks on the year. He's actually number one the last 2 weeks. And I know that's, you know, a little bit of recency bias, but the way that Mariota is playing right now, the playoff schedule is not pretty, but we've already talked about Rashard Matthews and we're talking about Kendall Wright here. I think in deeper leagues, at least, Kendall Wright has some value.
Yeah, absolutely. He definitely does for me. I mean, we know what Rashard Matthews has done, but Kendall Wright the past, you know, month or so has been very good. There's been a couple games in there where he's gone quiet, and I think that's just a product of this offense having, you know, a pretty good amount of mouths to feed. And then obviously a power running game as well. So it's not going to happen for him every single week, but Kendall Wright is a nice pickup at this point in the season.
Yeah, and then for as long as Jeremy Maclin is not on the field, I think you have to like Tyreek Hill, especially in PPR. You know, this is the offense that's always going to cap the upside of receivers. But, you know, 10 catches or 10 catches, especially in PPR, you're looking at – basically I call them as like a poor man's Julian Edelman. And it's not even that poor. Like, he's pretty close to what Julian Edelman was. And as I said, as long as Jeremy Maclin's out, Tyreek Hill is, I'd say, a wide receiver three in PPR leagues.
Yeah, Tyreek is definitely playing well. I think he is someone that can be a game changer, and the Chiefs, at least to their credit, are recognizing that and trying to get the ball in his hands. They gave him a few carries last week. Obviously, they gave him, he caught the 10 passes. He was their most targeted receiver. I think, you know, obviously he's definitely helped by Maclin being out from a target perspective, but I think he's a guy that is at least ownable in deeper formats, even when Maclin comes back.
Yeah, I think so as well. One last one at wide receiver, Tyler Lockett. A lot of people were on him for this year. The only concern, obviously, and this is what's been hurting him, in addition to the injury to both him himself and Russell Wilson, but the fact is, he's a number three wide receiver, seeing number three snaps as a team that kind of interchanges the number two, three, and four wide receiver at times. However, saw the upside he had in this game this past week. If he's back to 100%, if Russell Wilson's going to have a second half anything like the second half he had last year, Tyler Lockett could have some big games the rest of the way. I think he's matchup dependent, but he's definitely somebody you could pick up for those right matchups.
Yeah, absolutely. He's definitely a matchup type of guy, and we know what he could do when he wasn't healthy. Much like Russell Wilson was kind of banged up at the beginning of the year, Lockett was as well, and I think it definitely hurt his explosiveness. But we're seeing him kind of more back to normal of what we saw as a game changer as a rookie last year. So yeah, he's one of those guys who's got huge upside. And one of those guys I think you want on your bench at this time of year, just in case you need to put someone in your lineup, you know, one of your receivers goes down or gets suspended or something, and you need a guy that you can plug in and have a high upside, and that's Tyler Lockett.
Yeah, and then to go to the tight end position, we talked about, I said, Eric Ebron last week and the week before. And the week before, give Eric Ebron credit. He's definitely a much improved tight end this year. Zach Miller should be owning your league as well. Again, a great matchup this week. But if you're missing out on those, Cameron Brate, three straight games with a touchdown. He's tight end six on the season. And did you know he leads the Buccaneers in red zone targets, red zone receptions, red zone touchdowns? All of those, yes, ahead of Mike Evans, even though he barely played the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Cameron Brate is having a pretty good season. Obviously, Jameis, especially in the red zone, is looking his way a lot. But really, he's basically the default second receiver here after Mike Evans, and it's certainly helping his fantasy stature. So, yeah, I prefer Ebron. I prefer Zach Miller. I think Zach Miller is a huge beneficiary of Jeffrey being out. And Zach Miller was already having a pretty good season, top 10 season type of season. So I think Zach Miller is elevated above Ebron with that news. But Cameron Brate really right behind those guys. And I think a lot of, Miller, Ebron are gone in a lot of leagues that our listeners might be playing in. But Cameron Brate, if he's sitting out there, I think he's he's a back end tight end one rest of the year.
Completely agree with you. One other tight end is C.J. Fedorowicz for the Texans. Definitely up and down. He has 10.5, 6.1, 14.5, 3.5, 10.3, and 2.6 the last 6 weeks. With all those three good games, though, touchdowns in them. I mentioned it before with Brock Osweiler, three of those bad games at Vikings, at Broncos, at Jaguars. And the Jaguars have actually held tight ends under 6 points, with the Chargers having 7 and the Titans having 10.5 is the only two that topped it so far this year. So the Jaguars are included as one of those three bad matchups. C.J. Fedorowicz could definitely have a nice up week against the Raiders.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, you know, when you're looking at a guy that you're possibly going to be streaming, or you're in a deeper league and you're looking for a tight end fill in, I think Fedorowicz is a guy that certainly deserves consideration. You know, you mentioned the performance has been a little bit up and down, but given the tight end landscape this year, I think he's a nice, I'd call him in the 12 to 15 probably range, on a weekly basis at least, and matchup could bump him up even higher.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that aspect of things. So looking at week 12 for this week, as mentioned, or week 11, the Saints are at the Panthers on Thursday night, which we talked about. On the Panthers side of things, Jonathan Stewart for the rest of the season, do you think he's somebody you can trust as an RB2, or does the fact that Cam Newton still seems to want to run the ball in, even though everybody doesn't want him to, but he's just so good at it, does that always cap the upside of Jonathan Stewart for you?
Yeah, I think it always does, but I mean, at this point in the year, you have to roll with him if you're probably not going to have much better options. So you could pick up a guy like Starks or Procise and play the matchups, maybe if you have Stewart as your RB2, because I'm not excited about him and I don't fully trust him, obviously. And there's always the injury risk that he's dealt with his whole career. So it's nothing to be too excited about. He's a very, I would say, low-end RB2 at best.
All right, Pittsburgh at Cleveland this week. Talked about Eli Rogers, the Pittsburgh side of things, we know really outside of that. On Cleveland's side of the ball, with how weak they've been against the run and how dominant they've been against the pass, do you feel good about Crowell and Duke Johnson and not so good about Pryor and Coleman, or do you think that Pittsburgh could get up early and almost capsize all of the value here, including the running backs?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a tough spot. I still like Pryor as the best play. I am intrigued by Crowell. I think it's a great spot for him as an RB2. Duke Johnson, I mean, it's kind of like predicting a Gio Bernard game. It sometimes can be a hit or miss thing, because really his carries fluctuate or his touches overall fluctuate. A lot of the times he's under 10, and it's going to be really tough for a guy to be fantasy productive with less than 10 carries. But if someone could do it, it's him, because he's a very good receiver. So, definitely Pryor for me. I think Coleman is working his way back and is probably more of a wide receiver 4 play, but because of bye weeks, you might be forced to start him. Crowell's a 2. On the other side, though, I will mention, I think Ladarius Green, working his way back as well. A lot of health issues there. Caught 3 passes for 30 yards last week. Gets the Browns, which is a really nice matchup. So if you're really desperate and the guys we just talked about are gone at tight end, I think you could definitely do worse than Ladarius Green for this week.
I definitely agree with that. The Cleveland Browns have actually given up more yards than the Lions have to tight ends. It's just the fact that there's been more touchdowns that the Lions have given up. So that's really the difference maker there. As we all know, touchdowns matter a lot. But if you're looking at pure production on a per-game basis, look what Jason Witten did against the Browns just a few weeks ago. So speaking of Jason Witten, they're hosting the Ravens this week. On the Ravens side of things, we talked about the backfield already. Mike Wallace and Steve Smith, are they just both most stars in most leagues, given the lack of or really anybody that's healthy at this point for the Cowboys secondary?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm definitely rolling with both of those. If I have them, get them in your lineups this week. I think they are definitely starter worthy.
If you have Dez Bryant, are you thinking about selling high on him because of Dak Prescott's been impressive. He's been terrific. But given his style of play, do you think that kind of limits Dez Bryant for the name value that you're going to get for people thinking that he's still a wide receiver one, especially after last week's game?
Well, yeah, I think you have 2 options, and one would definitely be selling high. And I don't think that's a bad option, just depending on who you get your return. So when you sell high, you need to make sure you're getting a really good return for a guy like Dez Bryant, who is obviously – been a fantasy difference maker. And if you decide to keep him, though, you just need to keep in mind that every week is not going to be 6 for 100 and a touchdown. It's he's going to have the weeks like he did a couple weeks ago where he's only catching 2 or 3 passes and he's really not getting many yards. And for me personally, I think he was drafted as a fringe wide receiver 1, but he was hurt for a good chunk of the season. So I'm okay with it. I've come to terms with Dez as a wide receiver 2. And if he's going to have a couple duds, I just hope that they don't come during the fantasy playoffs, but I'm more than happy to keep Dez, cause I think he's a top 15 option.
Yeah, absolutely. Jacksonville at Detroit this week. I think that if you do need a tight end, he's out there in your league. Is Julius Thomas the most obvious one of the week because he is facing the Lions?
Yeah, exactly. Matchup wise, if you're streaming, you look at the matchup, and Julius Thomas, you know, had a pretty decent game last week, caught a touchdown. So, you know, it could be a game where I actually could see you even starting Blake Bortles if you really had to. So, yeah, I think it's a good week for Julius.
Detroit side of the ball. What do we do about Marvin Jones? He started off the season so terrific, and he's been basically taking a backseat to everybody, and Golden Tate's really emerged over the last couple weeks.
Yeah, he certainly has. I mean, I'm still starting Marvin Jones because I think we saw what the upside could be earlier in the season. The targets just aren't there like they were earlier in the season for him. So I'm starting him. I think you have to downgrade him into that wide receiver, you know, high end wide receiver three territory. And I think Golden Tate is right there as well, and maybe even a tick higher.
All right. Titans at Colts this week. We talked about Mariota and how good he's been. We talked about his receivers, how good that's been. So let's move on to the Indianapolis side of the ball. T.Y. Hilton, is he not a wide receiver one with Dante Moncrief on the field? Because he's starting to take a big step back. And I only ask for the purposes if, like, trade deadlines haven't passed in your league and maybe you're thinking about trading for or trading away based on his name value. What you could get is, how should you treat him the rest of the season?
Yeah, for me, he's still going to be a back end one. But the thing that, you know, kind of really helped him when Moncrief was out was his target share was just, I mean, massive. And, you know, now that Moncrief's back, we've seen, you know, a dud and a pretty good game from T.Y. Hilton and his lowest target totals of the year. And I don't think that is by coincidence. I still think he's definitely a go-to target for Andrew Luck, but Moncrief is certainly going to impact him a little bit. So, yeah, I think he's a guy based on the numbers he's already put up. You might be able to sell high or, you know, get two really good players in return for – you know, one, basically someone thinking they're going to get one player. Like if someone's going to give me Allen Robinson and a starting running back for T.Y. Hilton, I have to really strongly consider that deal.
Right. Bills at Bengals is the next game up. Robert Woods, how trustworthy do you think is? Let's assume that Sammy Watkins isn't even back next week. Let's say Sammy Watkins doesn't return the rest of the season. Robert Woods startable in PPR leagues?
Absolutely, yeah. I think he's a wide receiver three in a PPR format. I think he's fringe startable in a standard league.
And then for the Bengals side of it, which running back would you want to start going against the Bills? Is this just trying to guess every single game, or do you think it's more often than not you can trust Hill and just hope Geo has a big one?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, obviously you're kind of spinning it around every single week, but I'm going to say more often than not, I'm going to trust Hill. And I like the fact that he's going to get the, you know, the majority of the goal line carries.
All right. Tampa Bay at Kansas City. Doug Martin got a lot more snaps than we thought he might in his first game, but actually the more snaps than he was supposed to get by reports in his first game back. At Kansas City, kind of a tough place to play, especially with Kansas City doesn't give up a lot to running backs, but is Martin, you just have to put him out there just on his workload alone every single week now?
Yeah, I think you do. Absolutely. And I think he could be a guy that that has a really nice finish as long as he's healthy. So, yeah, I'm definitely thinking that he's going to be a workhorse down the stretch.
So Doug Martin or Spencer Ware the rest of the season?
I'll take Spencer Ware.
All right. Spencer Ware or who's somebody else I could throw at you? I'm trying to figure out how much you like Spencer Ware. Like, where would you rank Spencer Ware?
Ware, top 10 for me. I would put I would probably put him maybe even top 8 where I think Martin 9 to 12.
Lamar Miller or Spencer Ware?
Ooh, that is a tougher one. Is it PPR?
Sure.
Okay, I'll take Spencer Ware.
What if it's not?
It's closer. I'll probably take Miller in that case.
We're going to talk about Miller when we get to that game, by the way, in Mexico City on Monday night. Where are we at? Next game, the Bears at the Giants. We talked plenty about the Bears, but on the Giants side of the ball, there was a lot of talk heading towards Perkins Way. If you watched the game, it was a lot of Jennings, a lot more effective. Are you just kind of going with the, hey, maybe the Giants are going to use Rashad Jennings like they did late last season when they figured out to stop messing around with four different running backs, or was this just a game flow situation and running out the clock at the end? Like, how do you treat this backfield? Do you even want part of this backfield?
Not really. It's not really that appealing to me. I think Perkins clearly has the long-term upside here, and that's obvious. I think Jennings can still do fine in a role where he's going to get 15 touches a game. And like we saw last night, he can still be productive. I think it could be a game-by-game situation, though. If I own Jennings, I'm still nervous about Perkins. Let's put it that way.
All right, fair enough. Sterling Shepard back into the start-worthy category after the hot start, and then he went quiet for a while, and now Victor Cruz is a little bit banged up, and none of the other receivers really stepped up much Monday night.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'd feel okay with him. You're obviously with him, it's the touchdown production that's really helped his value, but with Eli, that could definitely be there on a weekly basis.
All right, Arizona at Minnesota. On the Cardinals side of the ball, if Fitzgerald is out. Actually, we already know we can trust him if he's healthy, but let's say he's out. Who do we turn to with the Cardinals? Is it Floyd? Is it back to being Floyd? Is it John Brown? I mean, it was supposed to be JJ Nelson last week, and he didn't really do much.
Yeah. I mean, take your pick. I think all three of them are wide receiver threes. If Fitzgerald is out, I honestly, if I had to guess, I'd say my favorite one is Floyd, just on talent. I think he's the best player. But I have zero faith in, making that pick on a weekly basis. If I had all three of them on my team, and I could only start one, it's Floyd. But I really, my confidence level is about 14% on that.
How about this one? How many receivers do you think have more receptions than Stephon Diggs this year?
How many receivers have more receptions? Well, he just had a huge PPR game. Actually, a couple of them in a row. I'm going to say five.
Try three.
Wow.
Only three, and all three of them have played an extra game because he's only played eight with the next time. So, Stephon Diggs in PPR, top 15 wide receiver rest of the way, yes or no?
Apparently, yeah, I guess so.
You think part of it has to do with Pat Shurmur taking off for the offense?
Well, it's definitely as far as his reception total, it's definitely given that a shot in the arm these past couple of weeks. So, yeah, I guess if you're a Diggs owner, you're certainly hoping that that he sees more of that volume, which is something that really I dinged him for last year and earlier this year. Is I just didn't think the volume was going to be there on a weekly basis, and that's why he was more of a boom or bust type of player. But if that volume gives him that floor, especially in a PPR format, I can get behind Diggs as a wide receiver too.
All right. Dolphins at Rams. The announcement has been made. Jared Goff is finally starting for the Rams, which seems to have been taking quite a while, but it's happening. Is this good, bad, neither news for Todd Gurley?
I mean, we haven't. I mean, for Gurley, who knows? I think it's similar. I think it's a lateral move. I do think Keenum kind of, was obviously not great, but I will say held his own, at least a little bit, by being able to put up yards in the passing game. So I think there's certainly a concern, but it's not a huge difference one way or the other. I mean, if Goff's a tick better, great, everyone gets a little bit of a lift. If Goff's a tick worse, I mean, it was already going bad, so how much worse could it get? Famous last, we'll
The
probably
fans.
talk about
Well,
that.
speaking of which, on that aspect of things, Kenny Britt, we kept talking about underrated, underrated, underrated. Nobody's paying attention. Now, for this week with Jared Goff at quarterback, we were talking about Kenny Britt as a wide receiver three, somebody you need to start every single week. Where do you put him in the classification, not knowing how Goff is going to treat? Goff might like him. He might like Tavon Austin. There's really no way to know.
Yeah, exactly. Could like Lance Kendricks. I mean, we just have no idea. So yeah, I'm a little nervous if I'm holding a guy like Britt, who I think in the passing games, obviously, the guy I want. I don't think I would never start Tavon Austin anyway, but I don't think Brian Quick is really startable at the moment. I think the guys I'd be interested in seeing how they're doing is obviously Britt, but he becomes more of a four for me. He's on the cusp. I don't think he's every week startable as a guarantee right now. We'll see how Goff uses him in the next few weeks. And then Kendricks, who or I'm sorry, Lance Kendricks, who was really more of a tight end too anyway. So I don't know how many people were starting him, but if you're in a deeper league, I think he's still in that range for me. He's still a back end tight end too.
All right, moving on to the Dolphins side of things. We actually know the picture with that. So let's get to Patriots and 49ers. Talked to plenty about Colin Kaepernick. What about Carlos Hyde? Somebody like Dark Martin, who Played a lot more snaps than we expected. This is his first game back. Wasn't as effective as Doug Martin. Now he gets a Patriots defense that hasn't been that good so far this year. So we know how the Patriots like to take out their best player. That's probably Colin Kaepernick right now. So do you think that Carlos Hyde is somebody you can trust? And yes, I'm saying trust because you're going to have to start him, but trust him in this week.
I don't necessarily think I trust him because I don't know if he's 100% healthy. But like you're saying, I think you really probably don't have many other options and you're going to have to start him. And I will say he was really good earlier in the season for the most part. Had a couple okay games, but really for the most, he was playing like a running back one on a team that everyone knew he was basically the entire offense.
On the Patriots side of things, Rob Gronkowski might be hurt, might not be hurt. We have the conflicting reports. Might be out this game. If he is out this game, obviously Martellus Bennett's stock goes up in the air. Outside of him, let's say Gronk is out, do you see appeal here with somebody? Is Julian Edelman finally going to get back onto track? Is it Chris Hogan? Will we just see a lot more of LeGarrette Blount? If Deion Lewis plays, is it going to be good for Deion Lewis? What do we make of the situation if there is no Gronk is really what we're looking at?
Yeah, it's just too many good players involved that really could benefit. I would say the number one guy that pops into my head that could benefit is Edelman. I think he's, you know, if he sees a little bit more uptick in volume, he's a guy in a PPR format who I want. We know what the ceiling's always going to be capped. He's not a huge red zone guy. But if he could roll up between 6 and 10 catches and maybe get somewhere between 60 and 90 yards, I think you're going to be happy in a PPR format.
Right. Eagles at Seattle this week, moving all the way to the West Coast. Seattle's definitely picked things up. We talked about the running backs. We talked about the fact that Wilson and Baldwin have been terrific so far again, heading into that second half. But on the Eagles side of things, a lot of people didn't get the enjoyment of using Ryan Matthews in this huge game because he was on some benches last week. Is this potentially the start of a role for Ryan Matthews, or is this just a one-week aberration because they said they didn't want to pass the ball as much and they're turning towards the run? Like, what do you make? Is this going to be a frustrating situation, or just keep Ryan Matthews out there on the off chance that he has a good week and just suck up the bad with the good?
I mean, it's a tough matchup, obviously, against the Seahawks, so it's not ideal, but Ryan Matthews looked good last week and has scored a touchdown or at least one touchdown in 3 straight games. So, yeah, I think you're looking at him as a running back too, but you're hoping he doesn't go back to only getting like 5 touches like he has before last week. So it's definitely a situation where you're not feeling great yet. You're not confident, but you're going to start him because he's a player that's at least on the upswing after last week's good game.
Yeah, definitely. On Seattle side, yeah, I don't think we need to hit many more on that. So Green Bay at Washington for the Sunday night game. Talked about the James Stark situation. Is Davante Adams now a must-start every single week?
I think so, yeah. I think he's probably neck and neck with Randall Cobb at this point.
Is he maybe ahead of Randall Cobb?
He definitely could be. I mean, Cobb, whether it's health or what, is just not as involved. And Adams seems to be a very trusted and preferred option after Jordy Nelson for Aaron Rodgers. So, yeah. I think Davante Adams is a guy who, you know, much maligned last year and even this summer, really turned his stock around in a big way.
Yeah, so let's talk about Washington. Talked about Rob Kelly, but the receiver situation is a little bit in flux right now. We don't know whether or not DeSean Jackson will play. Is it the fact – actually, I'm going to turn this around and kind of move it towards the tight end. Vernon Davis had a big week last week. Is Vernon Davis dependent on whether or not DeSean Jackson is out there, or is he somebody that's similar to Hunter Henry with the Chargers that could have some value every single week just for the fact of how he's being used?
Yeah, I think he could have some value. I'm not super excited about him. I'd put him in tight end two territory. I'm a guy I hope I don't have to start. But if I do start him, obviously what you're hoping for is like last week, you're hoping for a big touchdown or something like that along those lines, and that certainly could happen. We know that Cousins is going to put the ball in the air a lot. I expect this to be a game where they're either trailing or definitely trying to keep pace with the Packers offense, and that could lead to 45 pass attempts for Kirk Cousins. So I do think there's some standalone value here, especially I think it's obviously his profile is lifted if DeSean is out. That I don't really want to be starting if DeSean Jackson is in, though, unless I'm desperate.
then part one and part two is Kirk Cousins a must start this week, and part two, if DeSean Jackson is out, does Pierre Garçon becoming an interesting play?
I will say that Cousins is definitely a QB one this week. So unless you have a more obvious QB that has a, you know, you're not benching a Drew Brees or a Big Ben or someone like that. But yeah, Cousins definitely for me, QB one this week. And then, as far as, I'm sorry, what was the,
Pierre Garçon, interesting play. If no DeSean Jackson.
That's why I forgot, because it seems like he's been forgotten about for the past years. I think it's a desperation play. I understand the logic behind it, obviously, but Crowder is definitely the play no matter what. And then Jordan Reed, we talked about Vernon Davis. I honestly would put Garçon beneath Vernon Davis, I think, on the pecking order as far as upside plays.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. So last game of the week, as mentioned, Texans at Oakland. We talked about Lamar Miller before. I said I had a question to follow up on him. Is Lamar Miller even an RB1 at this point, because he's seen less than 50% snaps in each of the last three games?
Yeah, which is, kind of puzzling. And then he breaks off, a great run at the beginning of the game last week and brings it all the way to the one. And then they, I know he needed a breather, but they replace him with Alfred Blue. So that was, definitely frustrating for a Miller owner, and you thought he was on his way to just an enormous game, and it just didn't happen. So yeah, it's questionable. I still view him as an RB1 personally. I think that upside's there. I think he's run pretty well. The yards per carry is 4.3, so it's not what it was in some previous seasons for Miller, but I think he could be more utilized in the passing game, and you just have to hope that his playmaking ability, gives him that RB1 production, because I think the upside's definitely there.
What about the wide receiver situation? Is DeAndre Hopkins benchable at this point?
I think it's certainly in the conversation. I don't know if I would be benching him, but it's definitely possible. I think, Fuller certainly not a must play with given the struggles of the entire offense, if he's even healthy enough to be out there. I do think him being out there certainly helps a guy like Hopkins. It elevates Osweiler a little bit as well. But frustrating times if you own a piece of the Houston passing game, for sure, especially Hopkins, who was a first or at the latest second round pick.
And then to finish things out with the Raiders on their side of the ball, Latavius Murray looked good last game out against the Broncos, which is always good, but is he back to being trustworthy as an RB2? Because DeAndre Washington, Jalen Richard, when they were mixing in when Murray was out, neither one of them stepped forward enough to really put a damper on Murray's outlook when he was back. But at the same time, this is a backfield which sometimes you might get 12 touches for him, 8 for DeAndre Washington, 7 for Richard. But is going off the last game, maybe they're going to go away from that. Similar to the Giants, maybe they're just going to finally use Murray as their lead option for the majority of the time.
Yeah, I think that's the hope, and I've definitely been burned by him in the past. But I will say I feel good. If he's my RB2, I feel good about it for the rest of the way.
Would you go try and maybe trade for him if somebody's not looking at the fact that he's valued that way, and especially with the schedule the rest of the season?
Absolutely, yeah. If someone's willing to part with him and they don't want to charge a king's ransom based on scoring 3 touchdowns in the last game that played right. against Denver, then I'm absolutely interested in buying a guy like Murray. I think he's a guy that is an RB2 like we're talking about, but if he continues to get those sizable workloads, I think you could be looking at a guy who finishes from here on out as a top 10 back.
Fair enough. Definitely agree with you on that. I've actually been trying to trade for him in a couple of leagues just because the schedule is so nice the rest of the way. But that takes care of everything for week 11. Hopefully, like you said, we gave you plenty of options to go hit your waiver wire and get ready for your lineups in week 11. If we missed any questions or kind of topics that you want to ask us, at OnlyKid for myself, at Hello on Bobby, can always find both of our articles over on rotoexperts.com. Listen to plenty of nonstop, like I said, 24/7 free on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. So we're ready for you and available for you at any time you need us. So good luck in week 11.